The Nature Stories podcast, where people and place intersect. Welcome back to the Nature Stories podcast, curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. I'm Samantha Brown. This week, more stories from the heart of the land, a public radio series which considers the connection between people and the natural world. Here's series host Jay Allison.
A journey can change your life. For Luis Urrea, one particular trip changed his entire worldview. Literally, his worldview. Urrea was born in Tijuana and grew up in San Diego. He says he was a solitary kid. He'd play sports, but he didn't have a lot of success, in large part because he was so nearsighted. But no one realized this at the time.
I could get out in center field and people would hit the ball and the ball would immediately vanish into the sky. And I would think, wow, these other guys are brilliant at finding the ball.
But Luis could see things up close, including nature.
Being a ghetto child, you know, a barrio boy, there was nature, but it was all little nature you had to find, you know, among the rubble. Our apartment block was on a dirt alley. And because I was so nearsighted, I would focus in on things that were on the dirt alley. There was a little place near the laundry room with a curb. And on one side of the curb, there was a black ant colony. On the other side of the curb, there was a red ant colony. And they would actually climb up the curb and fight in the middle. And that was something I could see. So in place of, you know, elk and moose, lions and bears, I had my ants, which I could watch up close. So for most of my childhood, nature had been something close up, in focus. But one summer when I was turning 14, my father and I took a trip into Mexico. He had decided that it was time for me to go to Sinaloa, his home state. I had heard tales of Sinaloa my entire life, stories about forests and mountains and rivers, and I'd heard about 6-foot-long iguanas, and my uncle had his own mango grove where you could go in the morning with a pole and knock down your mangoes and have breakfast right there. I was 13 turning 14, and I was pretty thrilled. So we mounted a bus in Tijuana one day for a 27-hour bus trip to Mazatlan, Sinaloa. The bus was a gigantic thing. They called it 12 ruedas, which was a 12-wheel drive. They had a stewardess aboard. She had a wine birthmark on one cheek and kept her hair combed over it. I thought she was the most mysterious, magical woman I'd ever seen in my life. I guess I did. That was in 1970. I still remember her. We arrived in Mazatlan late at night, got up in the morning in my uncle's house. He got up very early, and I think he got the notion pretty quickly that what he wanted me to see, I could not see. Probably because he was saying to me, now look over there, can you see blah, blah, blah? And I'd say, where, what? My uncle made it clear to my father that he thought I couldn't see anything. So they rushed me off to Mazatlan early in the morning, took me to a family friend optometrist who gave me my first eye exam, and rather quickly, glasses were produced, horn rims, I still remember, ugly things. But I remember putting them on and stepping outside of the optometrist's office. The first thing I saw was a hill in Mazatlan. And the hill was completely covered in vegetation. And it was a shock to me because the vegetation actually had leaves. It wasn't a Monet version of an impressionistic hill with washes of green, but was actually a detailed living thing, and the leaves were moving and there were birds flying among the leaves. And I remember just stopping and staring. It was a revelation that has probably never been equaled in my life, that moment of seeing that hill. There I was, seeing a place that had existed in myths in my family history. When we got back to the village, they showed me the iguanas. They showed me the snapping turtles in the streams. Red flowers, blue butterflies, green water. Hibiscus trees, not just bushes, but trees with flaming red flowers on them, and parrots flying through these beams of light. White ibis behind. That's what I remember. The natural world became mine. It became the place where I live. I no longer felt like I was trapped in concrete. I felt like I lived outside in the wind. I was trapped in poverty for a very long time. But once I was able to reach escape velocity and get out, I never stopped.
Luis Urrea lives outside of Chicago, but still plans on moving one day to the landscape he calls his spiritual home, the Rocky Mountains.
Emily Botin produced that piece for Atlantic Public Media's series Stories from the Heart of the Land. The music is composed and performed by Bill Frizzell. The Nature Stories podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you'd like more information on the series or the podcast, go to nature.org/stories. Next week, we visit the Uinta Mountains in northeastern Utah. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown.